There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, stand-up comedian Omar Abid, and I'm joined as always by wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and I don't want to be reductive, but my wife, Claire Limmer Abid. You don't like talking about your work, do you?
No.
You work for MI6.
Secret squirrel.
I know, I like that you're a secret squirrel. Maybe people can guess on our Instagram what she does. Uh-oh. OnlyFans, MI5 agent.
I do more than MI5 agent.
I think marrying me is your greatest achievement. Aww. No, probably.
Well, I think it's the dog.
We're back.
Yes. I know, we were talking about it while we were setting up, that it was you know, the feeling of, oh god, we've got to start again, it's going to be 2 months, and then as soon as we actually started watching an episode of Maths Australia, sucked in,
you just bang into it. You straight remember away. Why you love it so much, and actually I can imagine people listening might feel the same, that you see it come up as an advert on Channel 4 and you're like, oh, okay, that required 45 hours of my life last season, but I'll give it a go. And then it starts and you just fall in love with them, yeah, straight away. Or you become so intrigued how it's going to work out. They get you. They know how to get you. And I'm got.
Well, I thought what we'd do, because we've got so much to talk about, because they had the reunion for Maths UK on Monday night as well. So yeah, we've got to talk about the first two episodes of Australia, mm-hmm, and the reunion of UK. But I thought before we get to any of that, we'd do a little catch up of what's been going on.
Yeah.
I think the big non-maths related thing that's happened between series is you've been winding people up in America.
Oh yes! Oh my gosh! I forgot.
The invite's real. Forget,
but you said like it appeared on the Today program. It's a massive program in the States.
It was on their website. when the woman phoned me from the Today program, I was terrified that I was about to suddenly be on the TV without my consent. Like they had a secret camera in my house or something. I was like, I do not consent. I was on their website. Yeah, I did a reel, if anyone hasn't seen it, about how I'm lazy and I'm unapologetically lazy in certain areas of my life, and gifts aren't. I'm not particularly good at gifts, so when my kids get invited to a party, I just buy like a voucher for them to go to a local coffee shop. But we've got a really nice local coffee shop that's like independent run, lovely, yeah, hot chocolates and cakes, and so I meant something like that. And then all the Americans, I think they thought I was getting the kid like a frappuccino voucher for Starbucks, and they're like, 4-year-olds don't want this shit. And I was, yeah, like, that's not really what I meant.
Yeah,
but I got so much hate.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you know the good thing?
From Omar.
The good thing is, for series two coming onto here, my skin is so much thicker. Like, I can take more of your abuse.
Excellent.
There you go.
I'll crank it up.
Don't give him permission.
It was fun reading the comments because
not for me.
The comments were amazing.
I only had one man critique my appearance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
But it's fine.
No, I didn't
I
see
know
that
I look
comment.
Like my dad. And actually, I feel very fondly about my dad, so I will take it.
It's a very handsome man.
He's a very bold, dashing fellow. 6'4" Scouser.
And it was ridiculous, though. Some of the comments were like, well, what if they don't serve gluten-free stuff? It's like,
I know.
I don't. You understand I don't run all these companies.
What if that child has allergies?
I know.
Well, order like, something else.
It's easy for me. It's some time for you and your child. You sort out the details.
Like, I'm not free on Wednesdays. I was like, go on a Tuesday. I know. It's really interesting. Like, I saw so much of the like whataboutery that people do.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, wow. People come at you with all their previous thoughts, but you're going in at level 100 and it's hard to explain, but you just feel it come all at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just actually quite enjoyed staying calm and doing like killing with kindness. So I was like, oh, what a shame. Like, being really annoying back.
It was good because we were sat in bed and Claire told me, oh my God, Sarah's got this reel that's gone like millions and millions of views. And I was like, oh, right, what's it about? Just briefly.
Summarise.
I'm busy on Twitter.
And then I was just lying in bed and she was reading out comments to me. I was like,
you're in a happy place. Oh, read more of Sarah getting slagged off on the World Wide Web, you knob.
But maths related stuff.
Okay,
I'm going to
do
this for the UK as well. I can't remember if we spoke about if it had happened during when the UK series was on, but a couple that have split up.
Oh,
Melinda and Leighton.
Oh, we did talk about
that.
Yeah,
we did.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Did.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Another one since then, though. Ollie and Tani.
No.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about that.
Ollie and Tani split up, and it start as with all these things. I mean, our Instagram, because I don't have a personal Instagram. It's all just math stuff.
Yeah.
So I see when I go on there that it's inevitably starting to turn acrimonious because I don't know who he's dating someone.
Oh,
I've only seen a couple
right.
of posts.
Oh no, I liked them.
Yeah.
Thing is, they met and suited, but were very young.
So young.
So you couldn't have necessarily put money on they'd stay together because they were great, but then they've got to last like 15 years before they're like settled.
Yeah.
And like 24 or something, weren't they?
I think so.
Yeah. Then you've got all the pressures of like it seemed like he has a fairly successful podcast and off the back of maths. He was a voiceover artist anyway, so he's sort of in that field. And, you know, there's loads of opportunities and things like that.
A podcast can be a wedge
in a relationship.
When it comes to love.
Oh, something else. Mm. We have a big announcement.
We do.
Drum roll, please.
I was trying to do like a voice drummer.
Well, I thought what we'd do is keep people hanging a bit.
Oh.
We'll talk about some maths.
Yeah.
Which is what they've tuned in for.
Mm-hmm. And the announcement is maths related.
The announcement is maths related.
Very much so.
We'll talk about maths and then we'll get to the big announcement.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Right then. Should we start at the beginning? Bucks and Hens?
Bucks and Hens. Bucks and Hens.
We didn't kind of meet everyone because they, you know, there's too many people to learn all their names and everything. We just got to sort of...
Not if you write them all down.
We just got a sea of ankles coming into the men's room.
It's getting worse. I thought it was something that would have... Because I was thinking about this, right? I think the series where I first noticed it properly was that the first UK one where they changed the format.
Right.
And I remember joking with Paul Brunson about it because he did it and I thought, you know, he's a stylish guy and everything. But then since then, he's stopped doing it because now it's... Everyone seems to do it. It's like
the
style's moved on.
The memo going around is skinny jeans are out, but I don't know if it's reached Australia because they've got skinnier and skinnier.
They're
tighter
unbelievably
and tighter.
Tight.
I know, but there is a look, isn't there? There's a look, and it's a man bun.
Yeah,
it's a tan. Mm-hmm. It's a
very
skinny
jeans.
Sprayed on jean.
Lots of ankle.
And the worst one is that Jack guy, but we'll come to him.
Oh God! I mean, his wedding suit.
Oh yeah, he looked like a waiter. Bless him. So who did we meet on the? Oh, we actually the first time we met was the older gentleman.
Richard.
Yes.
And obviously, we don't want to be ageist and we don't want to focus on age, but I do love that this series appears to be a little bit more across the board. different people.
Yeah.
And I love that because I miss that about original maths.
Yes.
About people with a little bit more to give, a bit more interesting backstories.
Yeah.
Not too, like, Instagram-y.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm shocked that Richard gets offended when people say he looks good for his age. He doesn't like that, does he? He's like really offended by
every
it.
Time
like,
someone
but
was
you
like,
do though.
Oh, you look good for 60. He was like visibly pissed off about it.
What am I supposed to look like for 60?
I know,
it's like,
I don't mean
it riles
that,
him up.
It's triggering something, but you don't know what it is. It's maybe he's actually 45.
You just thought I'm more likely to get on.
Yeah. He looks bad. He looks bad for 45, so he tells people he's 60. Yeah, I think I'm intrigued to see, because we haven't seen who they put him with. I'm intrigued to see like how they do. I love that we've got some different ages. Maybe it's because I turn 40 in a couple of weeks.
Like, yes. Joining the 40
club.
Yeah,
I know. And so I'm like, oh, some, you know, some peers. Richard's my peer.
Yeah, there's... also, same-sex couple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, oh, he is beautiful.
Yeah, forget his name.
Mm,
yeah,
I wasn't concentrating on his name. He was absolutely gorgeous. And as he came to the room, all the girls were like, who is
he? They didn't know what to do.
Well, they didn't know if he was a potential groom, a gay guy, or a stripper.
Oh, yeah. God, what's her name? Lauren.
I know.
Oh, I can't remember.
He's too beautiful to be a stripper. Well, no, I'm being judgy. He's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Anyway, yeah, same-sex couple. I think there's a really nice mix.
Yeah, I think so, because they haven't had a same-sex couple since, I think it was Series 7, which didn't air in this country.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they skipped, because that's when the maths phenomenon was taking off, and Channel 4 just sort of thought, well, let's get current as quickly as we can, so they just basically didn't air Series 7.
I do think the Aussie one has felt a little bit homogenous at times, and if we roll back to last season... Correct me if I'm wrong, but the only like ethnic diversity was Dan and
Sandy.
And this year we've got a little bit more diversity in terms of age, race, that sort of thing.
Well,
there wasn't anybody older last year.
No, they've not had someone older. For
who was the woman who was sex obsessed?
Oh, Melissa.
Yeah, but they were still like, what, 37 or something?
Yeah.
I think she's
not really that much older.
But yeah, I know, she wasn't that old. We're in danger of sounding really ageist this whole season.
Yeah, we're so glad that they've got some of these
elderly gentlemen on the sofa. But I don't care because they're not listening.
Yeah. He looks like the guy
Sexy
in
Santa.
Up.
Sexy Santa. Oh, yeah. He like, no, I'm joking. But yeah, it feels overwhelming at the beginning because you can't put names to faces.
No,
and they
it's
all
too
look
early for
too
that.
Too similar.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And then as they start to pair them off, you're like, oh, okay, I can visualise who Tristan is, for example. Lovely.
Yes.
And who Tim.
Tim,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've seen their weddings as well.
Exactly, that's what I mean. Like, as you watch episode one, you're like, well, at least know who two of them are.
Yeah. Well, someone who, and after episode two as well, we saw her wedding, someone who made a big impact on me from the very beginning.
Yes! Right, go on.
Lucinda.
Why did Lucinda make such an impact on you, Omar?
Because it came on screen and said she's a wedding celebrant. I don't know if anyone's seen the Australian sitcom Kath and Kim. But basically, if Sarah, who, as I've mentioned, is a wedding celebrant, was a character in Kath and Kim, that is Lucinda.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And she even used the phrase, huge hunk of spunk. I've got to have that. That's Sarah's new catchphrase.
I can do a terrible Australian accent. As soon as she came on screen, my heart fell because I knew exactly what would be happening in your stupid little house. I knew that you'd be slagging me. I knew
you'd don't slag off the house. Not the house's fault.
I was like, oh, to be on their sofa. I mean, yeah, she was in like wacky earrings. She's a wedding celebrant, big blonde hair, interesting personality. And actually, she's one to watch. I think she's fascinating.
She's amazing.
I think I was quite pleased, actually, at the wedding that she's not just... She has substance as well.
Yeah, and she's capable of mellowing it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's not like me. She lets the other person do it.
Yeah, in that way, you're more like Tristan.
I'm a lovely combo. I just think, I mean, maybe it's because I'm looking in a mirror, but I'm fascinated by her.
No, I am. I think she seems like a really nice person, and you just want an interesting character, because you're right, a lot of them are just Instagram-y. They all kind of look the
little
same.
A little bit two-dimensional.
Yeah,
she's got like 8 dimensions. But also, like, the producers weren't to know, I'm going to forget his name. Was he Timothy?
He was Tim as well.
Yeah, so the producers weren't to know that his dad had died, because I presume he had to apply before 5 weeks ago.
Well, we wondered this about the length of the application process, didn't we? Because it was the same with the other Tim,
Tim's
who had only been broken up,
up
like 6 months or something.
Because we'll come to that, because I was thinking if... She seems like a great match to help him through his grief, and that's not her job.
Yeah.
She's not being paid to like grief counsel him, but she's such a support and so good at listening. So they seem like really well matched, especially because of what he's just been through.
Yes.
But the producers might not have known that at the time.
Yeah, you'd think he would have started his application earlier than 5 weeks before.
Seriously.
With the diversity, I think he's an interesting one because he actually seems very, very normal,
really?
Which for maths is quite unusual. Like just the fact he's had so much loss in his life, and his response is, I think, a typical, particularly male response of,
shit happens, closing,
closing
down. And also, like, he was really derogatory against himself, which, like, and maybe, I'm not saying I've got lower standards, but sometimes people don't think they're attractive. I'm like, but you are actually quite an attractive person. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just, like, Australian standards are wildly high, like that kind of bronze beach, like, babes and guys. But, like, Tristan said it, and Timothy said it. And I don't think they're bad-looking guys, but they both were like, well, I'm not your typical boy next door.
No.
But I think if you're going into maths, you're going to feel that even more, aren't you? Because a lot of them are personal trainers, kickboxing, whatever he does.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them have that kind of...
And those ones give me the ick so strong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas someone like Timothy...
The comparison is going to be there in your mind, isn't it, for... some of the other
but
men,
luckily
maybe.
Lucinda thought she was a hunk of funk with a
huge hunk of
functioning erection.
It's highly functioning.
I was saying to you guys that wouldn't be on my scroll. That's too intimidating.
The thing is, I wouldn't put it past you to have a scroll.
The scroll was amazing.
I mean, I do think she's wonderful. And I do think you need some of that, like, the bigger personalities, but not for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Like, not people coming on because they want to start a podcast or they want to have an OnlyFans or, like, all this stuff where you see, like, they want to branch out in other social medias. I feel like the older people on the show just are who they are.
Yeah.
And they're just going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
They're very genuine. From what we can see so far,
it seems to me.
Yeah,
I agree. I was going to say as well, when just talking about people not living up to the sort of math standard and putting that kind of pressure on themselves, as soon as Nat came on screen, you were saying, oh, I like her. She just seems normal.
Oh, Nat,
yeah. Yeah, like someone you would have gone to uni with.
Yeah.
Like pretty.
Just a normal lady. A normal girl.
Yeah, and I think... people are like naturally pretty, and then I think on the Aussie one and even the UK one, you're then comparing them with people who are like permatan, Botox,
yeah, exactly,
like,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff. But she was cute
and
she
good for
slightly
her.
Out of her depth, didn't she?
Oh, she did.
Even when the like ferry doing and she like jumped out of her seat,
and they put her in first as well, which I don't know whether that was fair or unfair, but it's a lot of pressure, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she was talking to Tori about like she wants someone who can code. And things
like
that. Oh, yes! Tori's kind of the other end of the spectrum.
And she's
with
been
what she
given
wants.
An uncoded man.
Oh, God.
Am I rolling?
Let's get to a wedding then.
Mm-hmm.
Tim and Sarah? What do you guys think of? Have you been to Colombia?
No.
No, but I might be going to Nicaragua.
Nearby.
No, I haven't. And again, like, what did they pair these people on? It's so funny. Like, is that meant to last them a lifetime?
Yeah.
And then it could have really backfired because he did his Spanish in the vows, but presumably his Spanish is learned Spanish and he won't have the authentic accent. It could have really backfired because he might have sounded really crap to her.
Yeah.
Well, true.
I'm sure he's good enough to, like, do it in your vows.
Well, but how sounded did he, pretty good.
But if he presumably didn't know she would understand him.
I know, it's quite wanky, isn't
That's like with George.
It's very
George.
I mean,
George.
We like George now, but it is like a bit of a peacocking.
Yes.
Like, what's the alternative? Like, starting doing bench, like, start dropping, give me 10. Because like, it is.
Get
sort
a bar out, do some pull-ups.
Yeah.
Sarah frantically trying to reach for a gym term.
I know. I was like, what do they do? Knees up, burpees.
Oh, God.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes.
Yeah, it's very, like, forcibly showing your talents in your vows. And the vows aren't really supposed to be necessarily about your talents. More the promises you're making.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have a cycling proficiency badge.
I feel like they have the potential to be very well matched. And then it feels like Well, because they're both good looking and they both are very sort of driven and...
Both love Colombia.
Both love Colombia.
I think he's... I don't think there's that much to him,
I
really.
Think he's going to be...
Well, I do. I didn't say he wasn't simple. He's definitely simple. But then they could have been well matched in terms of just finding each other attractive, yeah. And doing some travelling.
He was a bit Australian, yeah. Bill and Ted, like when he was talking about, oh yeah, I've got an adopted Ethiopian sister, and while travelling, you go and see a different culture, just like whoa.
Totally awesome, dude.
Yeah.
It was, do you have any, can you expand on that a little bit? Like, oh no, it was awesome. Okay.
And then when he revealed, I mean, even that I think fits with his like simplistic thing of when he revealed that he had just come out of a relationship.
Yeah.
You're like, bloody hell, just put the brakes on, deal with that before applying to a TV show where you're going to marry someone. And
when
you're
you were just going to propose.
Quite possibly in love with the ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Oh, and again, it's one of those maths things where they seem well matched and then it all crumbles so quick within like 20 seconds.
What even happened there? Because I think there was a lot of stuff we weren't shown, because that argument on the honeymoon just felt like it really came out of nowhere, and she had a very strong reaction to something that didn't seem all that bad.
Because to defend him,
I think there's other stuff going on there.
Yeah, because to defend him, he actually stopped himself. And we all do that, where you go to say something and you think, oh, this might not be appropriate. And then the other person's like, tell me. Like,
yeah, especially when you don't know
what they're
going to
say.
Yeah.
But she forced him to tell him. You can't then punish someone if you force them to say the thing they didn't say.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so, like, he was going to say something, stopped himself. She forced him and then she punished him. And so it did feel like maybe it had been building through the day,
so.
Or been quite awkward.
Yeah. I wonder if what it was really about was still her reaction to him saying he was going to propose to someone else 6 months ago. Because he's probably, in his mind, he's like, look, I'm going to have to deal with this at some point. I don't know why he felt the need to bring it up at the wedding. Like, he could have waited.
Yeah.
But
he also said, maybe you can help me.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the worst part.
And then he tried to backtrack on that as well, though.
Because that's where I think he might be a bit simple, bless him, because he didn't think before he spoke. And if he'd... It's how you frame things, isn't it? Because if you broke up with someone 6 months ago and you said, look, we weren't right for each other, I'm 100% over it.
Yeah.
It was over before it ended, mm-hmm. and I'm really ready for something new. But he went, can you help me get over it? He sort of like, he framed it so badly that
so
she had
badly.
No choice but to think this guy is not ready.
Yeah.
And then I think, like you were saying, Omar, I think she's then framing every interaction from that point with like, this guy's not all here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then when he's probably already told her, I'm over it, done. You need to relax.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then,
oh
yeah. Then that's why he pulled back from saying,
you need to relax
about the tequila.
Yeah.
Because he might have also told her to relax about the best man speech as well, if she had some issues with that.
Oh, the rancid best man
speech.
Oh
my goodness.
God, he was, as soon as he turned up, it was just like, he's trying to make it about himself.
Well,
with
even the haircut.
Yeah.
No, but that is an Aussie haircut. I felt really sorry for him. There's mullets galore. I felt really sorry for him. I know he's not a particularly nice character on the show. I felt sorry for him because the reaction that other girl had when he came down the aisle was brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't wish that on Hitler. Like, that was so...
Well,
you might. So Bruno. I'm joking, but like for some.
Oh God, no! Not some minor social awkwardness. Not for Adolf.
Not some judgment on your looks.
Her reaction, and like he's got a heart. Like, can we take the Hitler comment back? Because I meant I wouldn't wish it my own worst enemy, because that is really brutal.
It was too harsh.
And then she was like, thank God it's not you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know he's got a mullet, but actually she didn't even mean that. She meant he looks like a bit of a fuckboy.
Yeah.
She didn't mean he's repulsive, he looks like Shrek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
she just knew instantly that Sarah wouldn't like him.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, reasonable if you know your friend
pretty
well.
And then obviously we find out when he does his speech that he is a complete idiot.
Yeah.
But she didn't know that when he walked down with his mullet. He could have been the nicest guy in the world.
Well, I mean, his speech was... Again, it's just totally making it about himself, about like doing, I'm going to do an extreme speech.
Yeah.
Mm.
But on top of that, just to the mechanics of it, his delivery was awful.
Yeah.
Like, he must have told, because they kept cutting to different numbers.
Yeah.
That must have gone on forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I know that he was trying to be funny. I mean, I almost blame society in general, if we want to say.
All right, here we go.
Look at the macro effect. Because... Best men are expected to make people squirm, laugh, whatever it is, take the piss out of the groom. And he took
groom,
it to the nth degree. But I just wish best man speeches in general weren't that, because they're never really that funny unless they're really good at delivering.
Yeah.
And they end up being so fucking awkward because everyone's family sat there and then they think they've got to tell like a diarrhea joke, a sick joke, a sex joke. And it's like, we're eating our dinner.
Yeah.
We don't want our parents to hear
this
stuff.
It's horrible.
Yeah. You're right. Generally, it's hard to get someone like... my best man did a good speech.
He very did, much did, yeah.
I've heard some good ones, but they're like diamonds in the rough, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I know one of where the best man basically went through every person that the groom had slept with previously. And it's like, you're not funny enough to one do that content. And even if you, I don't know, who's a good comedian who's not misogynistic? I don't know. Can't think of anyone. Even if you're me, you're not going to be able to pull that material off.
No, I know. No. So I could see what he thought he was doing in his head. He went too far and it fell flat, and then it just added to the whole like wet paper towel of the whole thing. Like, they fancied each other and then it was like
the kissing and stuff when they were doing the photos,
that was horrible.
you were, because he did a little lick of his lips.
It was all a bit
Matt and Whitney, wasn't it? Just back off
when they have to pose for those pictures. It's awkward for everyone, because even if you've got chemistry, you've just met, and then the photographer's directing you, so it can't be natural because they're telling you put your foreheads together, put your chins together, put your elbows together. It's just horrible. And when they start to actually snog, I'm like, whoa.
For the first time this series, I did a poll.
On Twitter.
And Instagram.
And I think it was 97% of people thought that Tim and Sarah wouldn't make it to Final Vows.
Yeah, I don't think they'll make it to Final Vows.
The thing is, if you're already being that combative, is that a word?
Combative.
Combative.
Oh.
I'll put an extra tap in the middle. If you're already doing that, and I'm not blaming either of them, but maybe I'm blaming him. If you're already doing that on the honeymoon, it doesn't feel like you're maybe willing to give and take and compromise enough to see it through.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you've just met someone, and I was saying this to Johnny, your first poll, my first mention of Johnny, I was saying, maybe it's just my personality, but I'd always want to give people the benefit of doubt, especially when I've just first met them. Because I don't think he meant badly by some of the things he said, but she chose to take it badly, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't bode well, because you're not giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And he got, he very quickly, with the whole telling her, not telling her to relax thing, he went down the road of
not playing that game.
If you want to play that game,
I didn't say that.
So it ended up escalating 100%.
I
don't see it lasting.
No,
but maybe they'll
move
to Colombia together.
Yeah, and plus in a group, I can imagine they're both gonna
fancy other people.
Well, I mean,
do you feel they're gonna be part of the dramas?
Yes,
I wonder about that.
Yeah,
I do.
I don't think they're not going to be part of the drama, put it that way.
Yeah,
it's like you don't look at someone like that. Well, the other couple, I just cannot imagine them being dragged into
Cassandra and Tristan. Can we talk about them?
Yeah, okay.
I just love them.
Do you
love them?
Yeah. The only concern I have, and it changed at the wedding. I think you said this as well, Claire. It's just like we don't have any information, but for some reason it didn't seem like a good match. I don't know why.
I wonder about the spark.
Right, I suppose that's what it is.
Do you know what I mean? I wonder about that kind of...
Possibly.
But then at the wedding,
spark.
They were both
bit
happy.
Bit more of a spark.
They were both happy at the wedding, but is that just because they're nice people?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm in love with one man on this show, and his name's Moddy.
Moddy was
amazing.
He was like, we're friends at first sight to the group. He was so cute. And then he was like, if she causes you trouble, don't come to me. I just loved him. He had such a gorgeous personality.
Yeah.
And I think you could see Tristan watching the family and thinking, ooh, am I joining a really lovely family? And then obviously a bit like we talked about with Timothy, Cassandra's had a brutally traumatic time.
Oh my goodness, horrendous.
Absolutely horrendous. And seems to be someone who's like built herself back up, has an amazing like perspective on second chances and that sort of thing. So I want the best for her.
Yeah.
And then Tristan seems like such a sweetheart. So maybe she just feels like she's in quite safe hands with him.
They're off to a really good start, aren't they? And they're obviously both really invested from the beginning. And I'll take them so far, but I don't know.
Somebody commented, I should have made a note of their name, so I'll just claim their comment as my own. that do you think, basically, he's going to help her get over this kind of block, as Mel put it, you know, with all the trauma that she's had? So they'll be really good friends and everything, but I don't know if it's going to end up being a romantic
possibly thing. Although I do think, in fairness to Cassandra, I think she's done a lot of the work already of getting over the block, because she said it was really bad for a while and she's come around and she's obviously applied for the show, so she's obviously open. And then I know what you mean about the sexual chemistry, like, hopefully that's there.
Oh, they're just both a bit too nice.
Maybe. Do you need someone to be horrible to make it work?
Just a little bit.
Also, he was so cute. I don't know if you remember this bit. There was a bit to camera where he said to Mel, I think it might have been on Zoom, he said, "My chubby ass." And then he went, "Oh, sorry for swearing." It's like, that's the most adorable thing I've ever heard. I just think they're both in quite safe hands. They both seem like really lovely, and they're not the sort of ones who are going to be in the drama.
Yeah.
So it's nice when you can sort of imagine a couple are just in it for the experiment, see how they go, and they're not going to be like wading into other people's relationships potentially.
Yeah, we definitely need that. Like we learned, or I learned from the last Maths UK, that whole cast, there weren't that many people I was invested in by the end. So it was the little Thomas and Roz.
Oh, yeah.
We were really clinging
about them. They're dead to me. I agree. And I actually feel like we've only seen two episodes of this series, and I already feel more invested than I did most of the UK one for the entire season.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. I mean, I was saying to you guys, I love the accent. I love the fact that fashion's a little bit more heightened. You're watching nice weather. It just feels like a little bit more of a escapism sort of show. Rather than the British one, you're like, oh gosh, this feels really close to home.
The format's the same. Obviously, there's a difference in how people express themselves, as there is in every country. But it's the escapism, I think. That's why people love it, the Australian one. The fashion thing is an interesting point, because this was coming up a lot online, that there's a lot of skin on show. I was going to mention this during the... and not just ankles. I mean, the women's attire, which, you know, I don't feel it's my place to speak on it. But
I don't think there was that many of them. Highest, with a lot of skin on show, was there?
I feel like the highest fashion we've seen so far, she had not one inch of skin showing, which was Lucinda's dress and headdress. And I thought she looked incredible.
She was amazing.
And that was, like, no skin.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do... I mean, bridal fashion, you do have lots... It's changed a lot, hasn't it? But I can't... Who do you mean?
Because
I can't...
Do you not mean at the hens?
Weddings.
Oh, the underboobs!
Yeah, there was a lot of underboob.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love a bit of underboob. She's going to be an interesting character.
Yeah. Well, even the... I think there was the bridesmaids' dresses for Sarah...
Sarah. Is this Victorian's watch mats? We're like, cover those ankles.
I can't even bring those to mind. Or what do you remember what colour they were?
I can't picture them at all. Lucinda's
I'll go back outfit. Through my photos.
Oh yeah.
Cassandra, and well, she's gonna have to do a lot of listening. Cassandra.
Oh my goodness, she really is. That is a lot of talking.
He has that nervous tick of talking though, doesn't he? And maybe as they settle in. He said that himself. I think he's quite self aware. And then maybe as they settle in and get to know each other, it'll be a bit more give and take.
A bit more chill.
Maybe.
I thought it was really, really classy, like you said, about observing her family and going over and making the effort to talk to them.
Oh, that was gorgeous.
It was just a really strong start. Where's their honeymoon? Did we see them?
Yeah, they went to like a farm. It was a bit shit.
Oh, they didn't want to see them? I don't remember.
They didn't show much, did they? Because it was just helicopter.
Yeah, but I remember when it sort of... The scene opened and it said they were on honeymoon. There was a big tractor. I know, because I was going to do a tweet about it saying the others are in fucking Fiji.
Fiji, I know. Or Fiji.
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 Fiji. Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah, there's a short change sometimes. Isn't there, what you get for those honeymoons.
It doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before we get to episode two, another little update is Mel Schilling, the expert on both UK and Australian versions of the show, we found out been diagnosed with bowel cancer.
Yeah, I didn't realise this until you told me today. Oh, I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, luckily, I think there was early intervention, and she's literally yesterday gone for the first chemo session, so she'll be recuperating. So obviously, we send her our best.
Yeah. We send her loads
send our
of love.
And hope, you know, hopefully, we'll give her a few laughs.
She's an absolute firecracker. I love seeing her on screen. Yeah. She's just brilliant. She's so warm.
So good.
And very generous, which leads us to our big announcement.
Woo!
We are doing our first live show.
We are!
In the flesh.
Yeah.
April the 11th, it's the Thursday night at the Stand Comedy Club in Newcastle. The plan is we all get together. We watch that night's episode of Maths on a big projector. Cheer, boo, wave some red flags around.
Yeah.
You know, have a few drinks.
Audience interaction. Have your drinks. Come with your friends. And, you know, you can ask questions. We can discuss together who's going to last, who's going to not. And by the time we get to April 11th, we'll be, like, deep in it.
Yeah.
We're going to actually care so much.
Don't hold me to this, but I think if I've planned it out correctly, that'll be the... because normally what they do on the Australian series is Mondays are commitment ceremonies, Thursdays are dinner parties. So it's going to be the dinner party after they're back from the retreat.
Where that's always a my doozy. Goodness. Amazing.
It's going to be a biggie.
And obviously we know it's regional. We're in the northeast, and so that's where we're doing it. But hopefully people can come.
Yes, absolutely. You can. Oh, well, hang on. We haven't told them the big bit about it.
Yeah.
Is that once we finish watching the episode...
Oh, yeah.
Mel is going to be there.
Yay!
Live, in person, fielding questions.
Yeah.
Telling you what she really thinks. So, you know, don't record anything on your phone.
Yeah, we have an actual expert joining us for our live show. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah,
it's going to be
so exciting.
And we've actually already sold a few tickets, even though we haven't announced it yet.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're £15.
Yes.
And that includes... you might get a free flag to wave. We just want to really involve, if you're coming along, we really want to involve the audience. So we're going to be asking like red flag, green flag, and we're going to be just asking for your interactions of your thoughts. Yeah. And so it'll be really fun.
Yes, it will. It should be a great night. And also, importantly, 20% of any of our profits are going to Bowel Cancer UK. Mel has donated her fee.
Entire fee.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Which is good because we couldn't afford her.
Yeah, Mel's been really generous. We're really excited. It's going to be really, really fun.
It's going to be amazing.
It'll be great. You can get your tickets on the Stand website, but yeah. I'll put everything online. So
yeah.
you can have a look. And
yeah.
So put it in your Maths WhatsApps. If you're in a Maths WhatsApp with your friends, let them know 11th of April. So episode two, and I feel like they do this with Maths. We normally get given like quite a gentle couple who we have hope in, and then a more dramary couple, don't we? So we had Sarah and Tim, who we feel like there's going to be some fireworks, and then Cassandra and Tristan, that's quite chill. And then this one, we have Lucinda and Timothy, and we have Jack and Tori.
Yes.
I think this episode two, I put it on our group, perfect Maths.
Yeah. What a contrast.
Where do we start? Shall we start with... Who should we start with?
Aww.
I feel like I've got so much to say on both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start with Jack and...
Okay. Jack...
Tori.
Is it ever defensible to say you want a submissive partner?
No.
Ever?
No.
Can you think of any... I'm boiling with rage. I am boiling with rage. When is it ever... When is that ever
never.
A trait
sorry,
that you should ever look for in someone?
So that was a rhetorical question.
No, yeah. I was waiting for you to come at me. No, because there are so many red flags.
Because it's weird and it's horrible and it's icky.
He wants somebody to lead. What does that mean? Yeah. This man needs a sex cult because all he talked about was leading people and having sex.
And being dominant.
He didn't talk about actually wanting any sort of like give and take loving relationship. Yeah, he wants to watch a film with someone on a Sunday afternoon. He said that. But everything else was about domineering people in the bedroom.
It's horrible.
Just start a cult. Yeah. Be done with it. You want to be a leader.
Yeah.
I think he said leader like 3 times.
Yeah.
I mean,
he wants to make the decisions, he wants to be in control, he wants to be the leader, he wants to be dominant.
And he just wants to be surrounded by clients.
Oh, that's so weird.
Because he didn't use the word friends once. He only used the word clients. There are so many red flags about this man. Honestly, I really don't like him already.
I don't.
You don't want to... When we were doing the UK series and we were sent by E4 those tiles with the different participants on, and I saw a photo of Brad... And instantly it took against him. Because you've got an image of your mind of what someone with all the face tattoos and everything like that is gonna be like. And he just seems like the Australian version of Brad.
Mixed with Harrison.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got that sort of like chunky head Harrison vibe. I'm speaking as a fellow chunky head myself. But I think it's just scary.
It's horrible.
It's a little bit scary how people talk to camera on national TV and you think, well, how do you talk to your friends behind closed doors? Because to say you want a submissive partner, I just don't understand where you're getting off on that. I don't understand how
the language is so strange. It's such a weird way to talk about yourself, but also talk about what you want in somebody else, and you think that's absolutely fine.
It's quite a trad wives sort of thing, isn't it?
Horrible.
But it's a strange thing to lead with.
It's very revealing. I don't think he realises how revealing it's been, some of the stuff he said.
I don't,
because he's probably surrounded by yes men.
Well, his clients.
Well, this is his client. Yeah. This is why he has his clients at his wedding.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
They worship him.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Well, yeah, because I don't think any of us would think it's that strange to say, well, sex is important to me in a relationship. Yeah. You know, intimacy is important or whatever. But then to go straight in with like the submissive, dominant, all this kind of thing. When he was pressed on it, I wonder, he answered it in a funny way when he was on the Zoom with Alessandra and
the sprinkles.
Yeah, he was like,
that was so bland.
Are you actually saying now? Because now you are just describing a Sunday.
He's not saying anything. Yeah. I think he was like, the lady doth protest too much. And I think if you're genuinely quite an experimental person, you don't necessarily describe it in that way. It was like, you know, you're someone who's like, oh, I'm such a laugh. Come for a drink with me. I am such a laugh. Guaranteed they've never laughed once. Like, so you can't describe yourself sometimes. You have to let other people describe you in that way. And I feel like he's desperate to be seen as like a little bit alternative, and he wants to be Christian Grey mixed with
Tarzan.
Mixed with like Elon Musk or something. I feel like there's like a horror. Anyway, I don't think he's as wild as he thinks he is.
No.
Because that description fell so flat.
Yeah.
Is her name Alessandra?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alessandra was like really pushing him, wasn't she? She wanted some like concrete examples or something.
Yeah.
What is your flavour?
What is the flavour?
Put it in the microwave.
Oh my god.
That melt it all down.
So basic.
And she's just going, so what is it specifically? What is that analogy? Like?
Is he hiding behind something? Is he wanting to be seen as this like dominant Tarzan, like alpha, because he said alpha a few times.
I hate that.
Well, that's just a red flag in itself.
It really
and again,
is.
I don't think men who are true, like Paul Brunson, who we love. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Paul C. Brunson, who we love. I think he's a true leader, but I don't think he does it in a really gentle way. I don't think he'd ever describe himself as an alpha male. Mm. I think people who describe themselves as alpha, they have something they want to be.
It's not necessarily aspirational.
Yeah.
And so I think he wants to be Christian Grey, but he's nowhere near.
Yeah.
Not that I like Christian Grey either, but it's like,
well, it's,
what's he trying to say?
Yeah.
Plus, he wouldn't eat that that ice cream thing anyway.
Only tuna.
Tuna and rice.
ice cream. Oh.
Oh, actually, that reminds me that Tim and Sarah, they say they weigh their food.
Oh, yeah.
There's something going
on in
Australia.
She's a nutritionist, isn't she, though? So
he's going to be a painful one to watch.
I can't bear it already.
Just the number of times he said things like, I'm gonna have a bit of work to do, but she'll be a good girl.
Oh, that was horrendous.
It's like he was buying a gerbil.
Yeah.
It's
like getting a dog.
Yeah,
got a bit of work to do, but they'll be good.
But I think it's even derogatory of a dog. That's why I said gerbil, because it's like, even like saying you want a submissive dog, that's quite a weird thing to
You'd never say that.
Fucking gerbil community are outraged.
I think everyone would be listening would be agreeing with that. And also, like, this is a personal thing, but I would have said no at the nipple ring. That was enough for me. No. The slow jogging with the like bouncing nipple ring.
Yeah.
His suit is honestly the worst fitting suit I've ever seen in my entire life.
His dad tell him to put his stuff on. He couldn't bend his arms.
Yeah.
But I mean, how did you get those trousers on? You were wondering about talc.
His parents seem sweet enough.
Yeah, they do.
But they've possibly not done their job very well.
There's something not okay.
I mean, he's
okay
not
there.
Ready. He's not ready to be let out in the world.
Well, what do you think of Tori, though? Like, how do you think? Because she was sort of alpha-ish as well.
I think she's a lot more genuine than Jack. I feel like I'd quite like her. I feel like she's
I'm not sure about her
mum.
I quite like her.
I'll take him home if nobody else wants it.
I mean, it was a bit much at the wedding, wasn't it?
I feel like it's interesting with Tori, and it'll be really interesting to watch, because she was coming across really straight-talking, fierce, in the, like, bucks and hens bit.
Yes.
And all the stuff to camera. Then as soon as she was put with someone who sees himself as quite dominant, she almost had to find her footing of, well, where... how much is talking am I allowed to do? Yeah. You could see already that he was... I don't know, but
This is my worry, is I feel like she's in it, and she really likes him, and she fancies him, and all this kind of stuff. And he is not, but he's acting like he is with her. So, you know, like, when they were kissing on the honeymoon, the full-on snogging, cut to her, oh, yeah, I'm having a great time, I really fancy him, I'm happy, all of this. Cut to him, no, I don't feel it. There's no sexual spark. Like, oh, no, she's in trouble. I'm worried for her.
But the editors did him dirty, didn't they? Because he was snogging her as the voiceover was like, yeah, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, exactly.
You are snogging the face off her.
There's no sexual spark.
He's nuts.
He's awful.
Put it in the microwave.
Yeah, she was, you know, she was talking about, like, the OCD and everything has to have its place. They both brought it up.
Oh, it annoys me when people say this stuff as well. You haven't got OCD. If you had OCD, you would be suffering a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's a horrible thing to live with.
It's come to me just like cleanliness and stuff, hasn't it?
It annoys me, something rotten. Just because you put your tuna in the drawer in a certain way, you haven't got OCD.
Yeah, I know. No, it's true.
Sorry, but it does irritate me.
It's come to mean something completely different in the vernacular.
It's something that people almost aspire to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, I like things in a certain way because I'm OCD.
Yeah.
Well, you're not, because you'd have a horrible life if you were.
Yeah.
Because it's horrible to live with.
I think there's some things on paper where they could actually be quite well matched. Oh, he really made me laugh with his vows. He started doing his LinkedIn profile. He was like, I've had some big successes in my life.
I'm a self-made man. What is this? Self-made. What does this mean? Because she then said it loads of times as well. Oh, I love the fact he's self-made. What, that he has a job? Yeah. That he supports himself.
I think
that's just people.
I think it's Kardashian. I think it's Kardashian speak for freelance. So like, it's that like Khloe and that what's her name, Kylie Kardashian thing of like she was the first
self-made.
She was the first self-made billionaire or something.
Is it self-made if you get your money from your family?
No, I know, that's what's funny. And then there was all these articles about like obviously she's not. It's all like inherited wealth. But yeah, I think it's one of those it's a bit like OCD. It's one of those throwaway comments that actually don't mean. Like,
it doesn't mean anything.
He works for himself is what she means. But his vows really made me laugh. He went through like all the jobs he'd had and stuff. And I was like, why are you doing this?
And then actually he mentioned he was annoyed that I said I was a PT. She hasn't even asked which gym I work at.
Oh, I know. Like, she cares. And then he was listing his age, the ages he has been in his life. Do you remember? So well, I've been 20. I've been 22. I've been 24.
I skipped 25, went straight to 26. Yeah.
He seemed to skip all the odd numbers.
That's because he's OCD.
Yeah. Like, what is that? Everybody who's your age has been those ages. So what is your point?
Because he was trying to say, like, when I was younger, I was a fuckboy, but now I'm not. But instead, he just started reciting numbers.
He's so funny. And, like, there's something so icky about someone who really thinks they're a cat. Like, you have to have self-worth, and I'm not saying like beat yourself down, but someone like Tristan, who's coming in it quite humbly and being like, oh, I hope I've got enough to offer, it's so attractive. And then someone like him, I'm like, put him in the bin, like, oh, he's just so up himself.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult with him, I think, so to watch.
Do we think they're going to be involved in the drama?
Yes.
100%. And I think he's going to really mess her around.
Yes.
Because he already has. Like, we've already seen him kiss her and then say he doesn't find her attractive, which is a horrible thing to say on TV.
Yeah.
She is a pretty girl. Yeah. I was saying to Johnny, I really worry that he'll do the thing Shannon did.
Yes.
Because she has a gorgeous figure. And she, and like, obviously all bodies are beautiful, but she's quite petite and blonde and your classic like Aussie girl.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be like, well, she doesn't go to the gym.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look like a CrossFitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that guest friend who looks like a real CrossFitter, who was a client. And I'm like, why aren't you two together? You're like hanging off each other's every word.
I know, yeah.
And then to say he doesn't find her attractive, I think she's going to end up beating herself up for her body type or her face or her makeup or whatever. Like Shannon did with that poor girl.
Yeah. Well, it's already started, like you say, with the sexual chemistry thing. We've seen this before with Harrison and others, you know, just like, no, there's no sexual sparks. Then she'll feel like she has to
work harder.
Yeah.
Be less vanilla.
Yeah.
But like, I'd be so humiliated if I was like kissing someone on TV and then to camera they were saying they don't fancy me. Like,
yeah, it's horrible.
That's horrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just be a more real person and maybe don't do the kissing if there's no sexual spark.
Yeah. But then, would the show be as watchable? No, I know. He's not nice.
No.
Well, should we move on to the other couple? Because just before we get into the real details, do we think Lucinda will be involved in any drama? She's such an interesting character, and I think she can. I think she'll be nurturing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, you know, like, probably like Laura was in the UK one, you know, like, I think she'll be a good sounding board for people, but I don't know if she'll be involved in arguments as such.
Yeah, I think she'll be in a lot of the shots because she'll probably have her arm around somebody, but not necessarily be like wading in. I don't know.
Yeah, but I wonder if she will be quite firm with her boundaries though.
Right.
Like, and I wonder if she will tell, especially some of the men, no, that's not okay, you can't do that.
Yeah, I hope so.
So I wonder in that way if she will get... That'll be her involvement in the drama, kind of trying to say that is actually not okay.
And she's not afraid to speak her mind.
Yeah.
She's just such an interesting character to me. I can't think of anybody they've had on Maths that's been like her.
Yeah.
Because normally it's the kind of stuff which might annoy me.
Well, it is, yeah.
Well, yeah, that was my fear from the first second it started.
We were really hoping. I know you said about coming in with a big hair. But if you'd have come in something purple, I would have said, that's a colour of transcendence.
Exactly. I said to Omar last night, I've got nothing of that colour. I hope Sarah comes in purple.
I know this is an audio medium. I'm afraid I'm just in black and white. But I really wanted to come with a big headdress.
Oh, yeah, we're all very monochrome shit. Creek, David
yes,
Rose.
We are. I think her and Timothy could be an amazing match. And what I like about her, one of the things I like about her, is she's given him a full chance.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
she's all in.
He's like good looking enough for her, interesting enough for her. Because I don't think he's come across super interesting. He's come across like he's had a hard time, but he hasn't been giving her loads of like detail or personality. She's been doing a lot of that sort of heavy lifting.
So far he just seems like bog standard bloke.
Yeah, nice enough bloke, like uncle.
Yeah.
He's giving me uncle vibes.
Yeah.
And I think she's been very open and warm and receptive. And I think she's giving him loads of opportunity to prove it. Like, she's like, I like him, this is great. And she's so positive. And I do really like her because I feel like she's not toxically positive. Like when he said he lost his family, she stayed quite quiet and let him speak.
Yeah.
And she wasn't like, oh, it's fine. Like, I'll look after you. She was like, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's had a terrible time. Bless him.
Yeah, horrendous. Yeah. It just seemed like he was quite nervous at the wedding and overwhelmed.
And then he had the chicken wing
around
his head.
Maybe it's hard to express your own personality when someone's telling you they've got a crow in the freezer.
I found it quite funny as a wedding celebrant because obviously she has brought elements in that she must have seen and liked at other weddings. But it was like, Lucinda's decided she's going to have a friend do a like smoke ceremony. And I was like, oh, wow. And he was just out of his depth, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But in fairness to him, when he spoke to camera, he was like, I'm so confused, but she seems really nice.
Yes. Yeah.
He hadn't dismissed her. And I think that comes from the maturity of the age they're both at, potentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought the meditating thing was funny. Yeah. He can't be with somebody who meditates in the morning because he's been with a morning meditator before and he's got to be quiet.
Around. That's such a lonely thing to say. Yeah. It wasn't based on any spiritual plane. It was just the fact he had to be quiet.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Lucinda in a meditative pose
in
the morning of the wedding. It was so funny.
I actually think he almost revealed like a spiritual moment that he wouldn't call that. He walked all night after his dad died. He walked all night around the suburbs just thinking about how he had to change his life or what he could be grateful for. And I was like, you know, if you were reframing that in Lucinda speak, it'd be like this transcendent experience. And actually, I think maybe he's at a point in his life, he might be really open to some of her like nurturing and like, obviously she's on like a wacky plane, bless her. And some of it might help him, some of it if he can be really honest with her, he might be like, this stuff's too much, and I think she'll accept that.
It's interesting the way, like you say, she's on a wacky plane and her delivery of stuff is unusual and interesting. But it's important, and the delivery is good, because like you compare her thoughts about the importance of sexuality in a relationship. Her saying she wants someone with high functioning erection, I couldn't do it with a floppy jalopy.
That's brilliant.
That is, you know, she's talking about sex and the importance of it to her.
Yeah.
Compare that to Jack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The delivery is so important. Yeah. Her delivery is really good.
Because she's very able to connect with people.
Yes.
So she's maybe on this bit of a wacky plane, but she's not on it too much or so much that she can't then connect with other people. And I think that was the difference when she was talking about sex, because for her it was part of the relationship, part of the importance of the connection. But for Jack, it's just about how he can be even more like Christian Grey. It's not about the other person at all.
Hers is more, I think she delivers things with just enough humour and just enough tenderness and just enough self-awareness that it stops being completely fruit loopy. Because it is quite fruit loopy, but she, you can see there's a twinkle in her eye.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we're going to love her for.
Yeah.
I loved that she took, sorry, I know you referenced it earlier, that she took a pen and a piece of paper.
That was brilliant. Notebook. And then she was saying, wasn't she, like, what was it, Nat? Peach floaty dress. Such and such, purple, transcendent.
And then she was like, Tory, fiery, or something like that.
Tory's on fire.
I think she's going to be just one that's fascinating to watch.
Her voice is amazing.
I was
one of us
say,
has to perfect the impression.
Yeah.
Because it's brilliant.
It's like an Australian, but with a very soft, like, sort of...
It's like nothing I've ever
heard. It's like almost like a throaty, like
a mouth,
but the accent as well.
Oh, she's amazing.
The accent's so interesting.
I mean, some of her pieces to camera, she had these like leather bound notebook earrings. They were like dangling. She just had the most amazing like item.
The smallest teacup I've ever seen.
I didn't see the teacup.
Yeah, she was just in it was a tiny. Garden. It was like that.
She had like the biggest earrings and the tiniest teacup.
And maybe that sort of larger than life like fabulousness is what Timothy needs in his like blokey life, and maybe his salt of the earth groundedness is what she needs.
Which she did say she's not very practical.
Yeah, I can't imagine her filling out a tax return with like a feathered quill and a dead crow's mouth. And I think her family seem really lovely.
Especially was.
And I was saying
he was lovely with Timothy, wasn't he? Yeah. The dad, when they were having that conversation about his dad.
That whole thing at the wedding when
it was gorgeous.
That was quite moving.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Johnny, like, he obviously only lost his dad 5 or 6 weeks ago. He has been completely unanchored with no living family, but only for those, I mean, obviously that's horrible, only for those short amount of weeks. If they quickly become something serious and he's welcomed into her family, he's only been on his own for those weeks. And then he's got this new potential, like, support system.
Yeah.
I felt quite emotional about that because I hate the thought of anybody just being, like, completely
no family.
Orphaned and like, just... mad. And then she is so, I feel like she's very generous with her time and her mm-hmm. family and everything. I think like she'd give.
She, yeah.
You're just bigging her up because it's you.
So don't worry, we love her already. It's fine.
I'm just fascinated by her. Yeah. But I think he's probably good for her and she's probably good for him.
Yeah, I think. But do you think it's going to be another similar to what I said about Cassandra and Tristan, that yes, it'll be healing and all that sort of stuff, but romantically, are they going to make it to final vows?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They're just an interesting couple, aren't they? I don't know. And I think she's got that like get up and go sexual side that she wants from him. So maybe if he's willing, but I didn't see that from Cassandra and Tristan because they didn't mention like intimacy.
No.
So maybe they're both a bit more on the shy side and she's definitely not shy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see.
What about Jack and Tori? Oh, who God. I forgot. Yeah, they said they stayed up all night talking.
Just talking.
I think I believed them though. Yeah. I think I did believe them, but I was like, how much has he got to say?
Just about,
probably quite a lot about himself.
Was he listing his clients?
Yeah. All the various workout routines he's done for his clients. Yeah. How he arranges things in the drawers.
Yeah, how successful he is.
I didn't get, you know, sometimes there's a bit of a, like a wink to camera of like, yeah, we stayed up all night talking. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that. I thought they actually were talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess is a good sign.
Yeah. What do we think then? Think they'll make it to final?
Absolutely not.
No.
I'm not even sure they'll make it to episode 2.
I think Jack will make sure that he stays in the process.
He might be a switcher.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he'll be like, oh, I couldn't help myself. I had to. That sort of shit.
I came here to find love.
Exactly. That sort of shit that we hear.
Yeah.
And I don't know who with. Maybe.
I did nearly say before, it has a bit of air of JJ and Bianca about it, doesn't it? Like, he doesn't fancy her, that type, but he has a type. So who else in the process is going to be his type? And then he's going to be straight.
Well, we've only got another 48 weddings to work out.
I'm sure there'll be at least one person of his type there.
So this is the part where I'm actually just going to turn into a listener.
Tut, tut, tut.
Because when I arrived this morning, you were like, we'll talk about the reunion. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't watch the reunion. I just completely forgot. Because you just leave the older series behind in your head, don't you? You move on, like, spiritually and emotionally and sexually. Yeah. And so I haven't done my homework.
No, that's okay. I mean, to be honest, it's a weird thing. We were talking about it last night, and it was almost hard to engage with it as a viewer because it's been several months since we last saw them, but also several months since that reunion was filmed.
Right.
So, for example, little bit of an update. We know that George and Peggy, who were together there at that reunion, have since split up around Valentine's Day. Peggy sent us a message, didn't she, saying that watching the reunion was going to be hard.
Oh.
But to be fair, they weren't featured too much.
No,
in
they
it,
weren't. Really,
they seemed all right, you know. They seemed, and you know, in her message, she said a lot of the stuff George is saying is untrue. Which personally, I've not seen that much.
No, I haven't. I don't know what it's all about, really.
That was really derogatory, but I don't know if he actually said it. Which was something like, "Oh, we only actually slept together 6 times." Mm-hmm. So as if to say, like, he put in all the work and never got anything back.
Right.
But in, like, a derogatory way. But I don't know if George would say that. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
maybe what's the best, like, a decade's worth of sex?
Or an afternoon, as Jack would call it.
Yeah, so it's just weird because you're kind of at the point where if you want to know what's going on with them, you
just have to follow their Instagram.
Exactly.
Check Instagram. I know. Yeah,
so even the reunion isn't actually the reunion.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's totally outdated already.
For example, Matt and Shona came back in together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we already know, if you're a fan of the show and you follow anything on Instagram, you just kind of see these kind of things.
Right. So no one's going to be like, jaw drop moment, unless they don't have social media and have lived under a rock.
And they weren't all there, so it was like...
No, there was a few of them missing.
Yeah, Luke wasn't there. Because that was another update, was that after the UK series, Luke and Jordan were meant to be having a boxing match.
Oh, yeah. Right up my street. Toxic masculinity at its best.
Yeah.
Well, what ended up happening was the promoters ended up withdrawing Luke from the contest because they said, obviously, a lot of opportunities have come up. He started his own podcast called Controversial Pod, which is the most on-the-nose name I've ever heard for anything in my entire life.
Wow.
That's along the same lines of, like, I'm really fun, let's go for a drink. I'm really controversial. My podcast is called Controversial Pod.
So he was doing a lot of stuff, and the promoters felt he wasn't able to commit. He basically wasn't fit enough.
Basically, hadn't done enough training.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it is boxing, even at that kind of level. You know, you can get hurt, so they had to withdraw him.
Yikes.
So then Jordan fought someone else in the main event. I watched it because they recently put it on YouTube, so I watched it because I'm a fan of boxing and combat sport and stuff. And as you'd expect, like, fair play to them, you know, it's a tough thing, the training's hard and all that, but they're fucking god awful, like, really bad. But they that's what's going to happen. They've never boxed before, they're not boxers. But yeah, so anyway, so then there was, like, because what ended up happening to fill you in was that Jordan just had all this pent up rage, which I assume he thought he was going to use against Luke, but Luke wasn't there.
Yeah.
So then he just ended up making a fucking spectacle of himself.
And the reunion
was bad. Yeah.
Oh no! Is he still with Dewberry?
Erica, yes.
Erica. Yeah.
Oh, so they're the only ones still together.
No, Tasha and Paul. Tasha and Paul.
Oh, good.
Oh, that was bad though, right?
Oh no, what happened?
Because he brought out a little.
Oh god, they did this whole big build up.
Yeah, and he goes, like, you know, and people go, oh my god, get down on one knee. He's like, no, everyone calm down. It's like, it's not that. It's like, I know we've spoken about moving in together, and, you know, nothing's happened since we said about the series, and thought, oh my god, he's gonna open the box.
Yeah, he's bought a house or something. Yeah.
And she opened the box and pulled out a house shaped keyring, and he said, oh, it's just to say that it's my commitment that something will happen.
Just to show you how committed I am to moving in together.
I bought you a keyring.
Oh my god. The producers are really scraping the barrel.
I mean, yeah. Definitely.
Can't imagine that being his idea.
Unnecessary.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't watch the reunion.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't miss much, really. It wasn't great.
Well, then, yeah, so then Jordan was...
So how was Jordan showing himself up?
Well, they were rehashing what happened with him and Luke.
Yeah.
You know, Luke wasn't there.
And Luke wasn't there.
Was the other dude?
Jay.
I can't remember anyone's names. Jay.
She was there.
She was there and saying... And obviously, they have since... seen the series, so she could see for herself what was said.
Right.
So she was saying, no, he said it this way, and Jordan's going, no, but then that's after him saying, they're just going over the whole thing again and again. And Erica, if you remember what Jordan was like, he wouldn't let anyone...
Yeah.
And I supported Jordan at the time against Luke, but...
He can't let anything lie.
He can't let anything lie.
He'd make a really good point, and then he'd battle you with it.
Yeah.
So it's like, make the point, step back.
Yeah. And let's move on from it, maybe. Yeah. So don't have to stay there.
So Jay wanted to, and this was fairly early on, wanted to say something to him, and he just cut her off, and Erica said, let Jay speak for a minute, and he took that really badly. He was like, oh, I can't believe you're on their side. Are you meant to be here to back me up?
You're not supporting me.
Yeah, just fucking, well, if you let someone else speak for a second.
Oh gosh.
Then he went to Adrienne, he was like, you know, saying, I don't want your opinion on this. And all.
He was not a fan of Adrienne for some reason in that scenario. And then he was rolling her eyes when she was saying how her and Erica are best friends, and because they did the honesty box thing, you know,
right.
What did you get from the experiment, that type of stuff.
I'm trying to picture and who Adrienne. So, I've just remembered who Adrienne is.
And so Adrienne was saying, you know, the best thing I got was my friendship with Erica. Obviously, we're really close. And Jordan's like sniggering and rolling his eyes. And then they all started on him again, didn't they? Like, just relax, stop saying stuff.
Yeah, it was, the whole thing was like a really watered down, disjointed version of what we saw a few months ago.
Yeah.
So it was sort of, I don't know, as a you think you want the catch up.
Yeah.
But I don't know, they should maybe do it more contemporaneously. So it should have been like.
I think so, yeah. It needs to be.
It should have been stuff that
more up to date.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to remember what contemporaneously means.
It's hard for them to. Like. Because, like we've said, you can just go on Instagram and see what's going on in their lives.
Like the Shona and Matt thing would actually be quite shocking if you didn't know already.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, they've swapped behind the scenes. We didn't even know about this. But
Then maybe we're too much in the world of it. Because they say, oh, you could see this and that online. But how many people are actually, you know, looking at that stuff?
Well, that's true. Like, I do think before the podcast, I wouldn't have seen all that stuff on Instagram because I wouldn't be following them all on my own Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's only because I look on the maths one that I've seen all of this stuff.
But it's funny because now we've started the Aussie one. I don't even want to talk about that lot anymore.
I honestly don't care.
I just want to talk about the new people.
Well, I should say though,
I'm part of the beast of the machine.
The conveyor belt, using them up like
absolutely.
My carbon footprint of human souls.
Well, I should say, I think my favourite bit was Thomas, as always, as in most of those things. Thomas and Roz. He's ripped up now. He's buff.
Very.
Yeah.
I've seen his reels.
Oh, so you saw those.
I remember Thomas's name.
Well, when everyone at the end of the episode, they're all just shouting and talking over each other, and just he just like bang the tables. Like, shut up! Everyone, shut the fuck up!
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was like, everyone shut up and listen to him. And to be fair, they did start laughing at him.
Because it was funny.
it was funny. But whatever, it worked. I mean, he was like...
It worked.
Yeah, this is what I mean about that cast. I don't know. Mm. I find it hard to really like that many of them.
There's a lot. Nobody to get invested in, really. Not massively, I don't think.
To link the two with a little point, what I would hope would happen is if this Aussie season does well, and we do have a bit more of a mix of ages and backgrounds again, like it feels a little bit more like a cross-section, maybe the UK one will reflect that next time.
Yes.
Yeah, which would be nice, because I think we've overcorrected ourselves too far in both ways.
Yeah, it has
been like very like straightforward, and then it became very drama, and then maybe if the Aussie one pulls it back slightly.
Yes.
Because I did have people in my DM saying like, oh, I'm not watching maths, it's gone mad, it's gone stupid. it's gone stupid. It's like Love Island on crack sort of thing.
It is. But you know what's weird is, again just talking about the difference between the UK and the Australian one, maybe because it's other side of the world and all that, like I'll give them more leeway. I'm not as bothered about all the drama. Instagrammy drama stuff. Yeah, I give them more leeway than
it's true. They feel like characters on a show more than like the UK one is too close to home.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I wanted to say as well, just with saying it's on the other side of the world, in case anyone's wondering how this episode is available as soon as it's finished on the TV and we're talking about literally what you've just seen, don't forget it's because of the time difference in the hemisphere.
This is coming to you live from Sydney. I wish.
So it's off to a good start though, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope
so. It is.
Hopefully you've enjoyed listening to us.
Yeah.
Pull everybody apart. Tell your friends.
Yeah. Tell your friends about the live show. That's the big thing.
Spread the word.
April the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Newcastle. £15, please.
Mel will be there.
Right, so that's it for the first episode. That was fun.
That was really fun.
Look forward to talking to you again on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So until then, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Claire Limmer Abid.
Just a reminder as well, don't forget to take the crow out of the freezer to defrost.
Before your next appointment.